It's a text message. Oh, it's from God. Yeah. 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 It's good. That's nice. Where's John Roberts? John, is your health insurance paid up? All right, don't worry about it. It's good. And Vern, you should probably stay off of the H1 for a few days, all right? Oh, that's good. That's what a minister's life is like. You know, we get a lot of messages from God like that, sort of help us take care of the flock, you know, personal messages. That's just kind of what it's like for me, day in, day out, you know. I got some voicemails from him I haven't answered. If God were to send you a text message, if God were to send you an email, what would you want it to say? And I'm just talking like one email, right? Is God's going to send you one email in your lifetime, and you're going to get to print it out, you're going to get to frame it, put it on the wall. What do you want it to say? Just think about it for a minute. What do you want it to say?
Buy one, get one free.
No. Wait, I'm getting another message. Why are we here? So you want the answer to kind of like the purpose of life.
Well, or why are we here?
Why are we here at Nightlife? It's a question you ask yourself when I start preaching every week. All right? Yeah? What else? Yeah? What's the what of the universe? The secret of the universe. Deep truth. Deep mysteries. Ooh, very advanced. How old are you? Dang. Yeah, Carl?
Where should I go?
What should I do? Life direction. Carl wants life direction. I hear some amens. Yeah, Marty?
How old is Pastor Jordan?
How old is Jordan? Getting older by the minute. Jay?
I want mine to say, well done.
Well done. Well done, good and faithful service. Something that we all sort of crave to hear by the end. You know, sometimes... Yeah. Okay, Leon. What? Don't worry, you're not crazy. I don't know how likely that is, but I'll pray. I'll pray the Lord sends that one. I think sometimes, you know, I crave to know more about God and about His ways and about the universe. I kind of want Him to send me, you know, deep knowledge, you know, to sort of answer my questions. But more often than not, if I'm going to get one email from God, I want to say something blatantly personal, right? I don't want to hear what the, you know, the secret of, you know, my life is or what I'm supposed to do next, really. What I crave to hear, I think, and the older I get, the more I walk with Him, the more I think this is true, what I crave to hear is, you know, I love you. You know, good job. I'm with you. I want it to be very, very personal. Because I think that the cry of my heart isn't really for more knowledge about God. It's not to know more of His nature. It's really to know more about His attitude. Particularly His attitude toward me, which is the attitude that counts in my life. That's kind of... Does that resonate? Do y'all think that's true? Is that true for you too? I think what most people want to know about God, really, when the smoke clears, isn't about His nature, about His deep truth per se. I think they want to know what His attitude is toward themselves. I think that's the most powerful thing that the Lord can speak to most people. Let me tell you a little story. I've been traveling a whole lot. I spent some time in Bangladesh. By the way, we're going to do a big missions recap pretty soon because we have people who have come back from, you know, Africa and Bangladesh and all over the world. And when we get over to Kohala, we'll start doing some sharing about all the stuff we saw and did. But I've been traveling a lot. When I got back to town, it turned out that my dad had gotten ill. He'd been diagnosed with a brain tumor, so I immediately shot off to the mainland. And It went very well. He had surgery, and it was a benign tumor, and everything just went marvelously. Thank you all for your prayers. And on my flight home, I'm flying out of this little tiny airport in a town where I grew up, and a small plane, and I get on the plane, and they ask me to move the back because of weight distribution. This is the sort of airplane that flies out of my hometown airport. So I say, okay, I'll move to the back of the plane. And I go back there, and I sit down next to this fellow. This guy's just big, burly fellow. And he's reading a magazine, the title of which is Combat Handguns. Yeah, not so strange in my hometown, but it's like, oh, boy. You know, and I sit down next to him, and he's got a tattoo on his hand that says Kenpo Karate, and has the Chinese characters for that. And just, you know, kind of a tough hombre, and immediately we start talking. He's a very personable fellow, and we have this conversation about, you know, traveling. Where is he going? Well, he's going to Las Vegas to be part of a corner team for the Ultimate Fighting Championships. You know, there's the guys that do full contact sort of fighting. He's sort of into that. In fact, he's in the corner team of the current world champion in a certain weight class guy that I knew of. And I used to do a lot of martial arts. So we talked about that for a while and said, well, what are you doing? Well, I flew back here for my dad's surgery. And it got out that it was a very long trip for me because I essentially flew from Bangladesh to Medford, Oregon. It took me 3 days. He heard I was in Bangladesh, so he said, oh, you're a missionary. And I said, yeah, I'm a missionary, good guess. How do you know that? He said, oh, well, just, I don't know, something about you and that you were in a very strange country. And I once had to rescue some missionaries from this African country where there was this coup. And it turned out that this guy works for Executive Security International. Have you guys ever heard of that? They're like maybe the most famous private security firm in the country. And they're like commandos for hire, security details for hire. Why the guy's reading all about combat handguns. So we talked about that for a long time. This guy is, if you were unkind, you would call him a mercenary, right? And you know, if kinder, you would say maybe, you know, commando for hire or bodyguard or something like that. And so we talked about some of his experiences, And at one point he said, unfortunately, you are sitting next to a man who trains other people how to kill. That's what I do for a living. And then he said, you know, you're in situations where the bullets are flying and you make the best decisions you can. Then he paused and said, sometimes you guess wrong. And then you just have to move on. And he actually said that 4 or 5 times during the course of the conversation. He told me a story where he was in this African country. And the bullets were flying, he was at this airport, and somebody dumped a missionary who had been tortured to the point of near death. And my new friend, Rich was his name, was getting out of the country, had a plane ticket, one of the last flights, but instead he picked up the missionary, put the missionary in the seat. And then he had to, you know, kind of fight his way out of the country over the next 8 days. You know, so did some really good stuff, but was sort of haunted by some other stuff that happened in his line of work, and you could just kind of imagine the sort of stuff that he went through. And we talked for a long time. But after he said, unfortunately, you're sitting next to me, and I said, I made a comment about, well, you know, I see God work in all sorts of situations, you know, something like that. And he said, yeah, you know, I believe in God, but I'm just not very good with it. And I said, there's no such thing as a good Christian. And then I kind of went off on a message that none of you would have been surprised to hear me say, right? You know, what did I say? Those of you who know me. We're all losers. Jesus is for losers, right? God loves you more than you can possibly imagine. He doesn't care. No sin is greater than any other sin. I kind of went into this. And we had just this great conversation between Medford and San Francisco. We got off the plane. I was going to walk away. He said, no, let me buy you a drink. And we sat there and we talked for another hour and a half, 2 hours or something. And just, you know, on and on. And then he had to leave. And then I was kind of walking around killing some time. I knew he was going to Las Vegas. I just felt in my heart that, you know, he said that thing about making bad choices 4 or 5 times. There's something that's really bothering him. I'm never going to see this guy again. I need to go find him. And I need to just really tell him what God thinks about him. So I did. I went. I looked up a Las Vegas flight. I went. I found the gate, and there I was. And I took a knee in front of him, and I said, "Look, you know, you said some things that lead me to believe that you're really haunted about some stuff. I want you to know that I meant what I said. There's no such thing as a good Christian. You said that when the bullets are flying, you make your best guess, and sometimes it goes wrong. I want you to know that that's exactly how Jesus sees it. And you should know that, and you should know that God loves you more than you can possibly imagine, way more than you think. And that's the reality of the universe. He had made a comment earlier about him being an expert on killing and me being an expert on the Christian faith. I said, you know, take it from someone who's an expert. God loves you. It's all about the next decision you make, not the ones that you've made in the past. And this big, hulking guy, you know, with his combat handgun magazine, started tearing up there in the airport terminal. Because there's power in Jesus' message. And I've discovered that again and again and again. This guy came from, yeah, you know, I'm sorry, I'm a killer, to, you know, just kind of crying, tearing up, thinking that God might love him in the course of an afternoon conversation. There is power in the message of Jesus, right? If you just share it. Amen? Do you think that's true? I could have said more to this guy. Instead of just saying, you know, God loves you, I want you to know that, I could have said, and this is what you need to believe about Jesus to be saved. You need to believe that he is the fully human manifestation of the triune God, right? And that he is the only gate, that either believe in him or you go to hell. I could have run through a lot of doctrinal points, which, you know, in and of themselves have a tremendous amount of validity. These are not things that we sneeze at. These are not things that we joke about necessarily. But I've discovered that there's a big difference between preaching a message about Jesus and preaching the message of Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, a message about Jesus would be about his nature, about how he fits into the universe and stuff like that. And this is what I think a lot of well-meaning Christians preach a lot of times. Do you want to know about my faith? Well, let me tell you how it works, right? Let me tell you how it fits together. The message of Jesus, the one that Jesus spoke, was not that, was it? Right? We've gone through a whole gospel together. We've gone through Mark together. The message that Jesus himself preached was a little bit different. I've been spending some time in the Gospel of John, and I had occasion to think about just that this week. I have a very short scripture on the back of your bulletin. It's from John 17, chapter 20. And this is Jesus praying for his disciples. Jesus is actually saying a prayer for the guys that have been following him for a few years. And he's praying to God the Father, and he says to the Lord, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." That people come to believe in Jesus, Christ is foreseeing. People come to believe in Jesus through the message that the disciples will preach to the world. And, you know, that's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do, is to preach the message of Jesus to the world. And I thought, well, you know, what is that message exactly? What exactly is it that we're going to preach? What is the sort of message that causes other people to believe? Is it the message about Jesus, you know, about who he is and how it works and stuff like that? Or is it the message of Jesus, the message that Jesus preached? And are those two things different anyway? How are they different? Are you following me so far?
Yeah.
Boy, you guys are easy tonight. Jesus, in the course of his ministry on earth, you know what? He didn't say much about himself. He didn't really say much about the mechanics of salvation. He didn't say much about that, did he? He studiously avoided mentioning publicly that he was the Messiah, even, until the very end of his life on earth. He really kind of avoided talking about himself very much. None of this, you know, turn or burn, you know, salvation, you know, accept me, stuff like that. He made allusions to it, and from that we build an understanding of how it works. But what did Jesus talk about, mainly? I think one way or another, he spent most of his breath on talking about how much God loves us and attends to us, how much God is there for us. His first basic message, the first thing he comes out of the box preaching is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And I think we hear that in a certain way. We kind of fixate on the word repent, don't we? That word sort of, you know, metanoia, the Greek word, which literally means just to change, do a new thing. But these days, you know, our modern ears, we hear it as Stop sinning or else. That's how we hear the word repent. I'm not sure that that's how Jesus said it. He always said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I would sort of think that to contemporary ears in the vernacular, it sounded more like, hey, change the way you're doing things. Why? Because God is actually with you, man. God is actually with you. So change up the way that you're doing things. It's a new day. I think that's probably how it sounded, which in tone is a lot different than stop sinning or else, isn't it? And I choose to interpret it that way because the rest of Jesus' life sort of fills out that message. That was sort of what his attitude was, right? Yeah, change. Now you're free to change. Do things differently because, you know, you're not under that burden of judgment thing anymore, right? The message of Jesus was really, really simple. Time to get free because God is really for you. Doesn't matter what you did. Doesn't matter that you train people to kill. Doesn't matter that you've made bad decisions that have really cost people in this severe way. Right? No, God is with you. Right? And that's good news. So, yeah, you know, change because God loves you so much. Don't change in order to be loved by God. Right? Let me follow that. That seems to be what Jesus was saying. Sometimes I think when we when we're sharing the gospel with people, we feel compelled to get across the whole truth. If somebody asks you, tell me about Jesus, you know, we feel like we need to go through the Westminster Catechism. You know, well, let me explain. Let me explain the Trinity. Let me to explain a propitiatory sacrifice and forgiveness and you know, how Jesus, you know, is really the one way and how judgment works and all that stuff. But I think it should start with a message. It should start with the message of Jesus. Message and truth. There's a relationship there. The message of Jesus, once you receive it, leads you to explore the truth about Jesus. Got it? It's the message of Jesus that leads you to start exploring the truth of Jesus. So if the message of Jesus is God is with you and God loves you more than you can possibly imagine, it's a new day for you because life is not what you thought. It's not as bad as you were thinking. God's actually for you. All right, if that's the message of Jesus and you believe that, then you're going to get very interested in investigating who Jesus is and who God is and kind of how the universe clicks. Right? If I try to tell you how the universe clicks, you may or may not be interested in what Jesus had to say. Right? I think the message and the natural order of things should precede understanding the whole truth. Another thing is, like, you know, there's an endless amount of truth to learn, but a very simple message to receive. I think what we receive when we first come to believe is actually the message of Jesus. And then we fill out knowledge about Jesus as we go from there. Do you believe me? Does that make sense? Does that bother anybody? You guys are very well trained. You must have been hanging out at Nightlife a long time. This, you know, dawned on me through a very powerful experience, you know, I had in, I was just sort of struggling through depression, despairing of life, and then the Holy Spirit came to me very powerfully one day and gave me a really strong text message, a really strong email. I had all these questions about life, why I was failing left and right, and he said to me, good job, I love you. And that was it. That was all he said. And I haven't been, you know, depressed a day since then. A lot of you have heard me tell this story in some detail. Having understood that really that was the message of Jesus for me, and all these crises in my life, all these sins he could have called me on, and his message was, good job, I love you. Now, the truth about me was much more complicated. And the truth about me was, well, some things you do well, some things not so well. You've been struggling a long time. You know, you screwed up here. Your faith is there. You need to, you know, ask forgiveness from your wife again and, you know, all this other stuff. That was the truth about me. But the message of God for me was, good job. I love you. Right? And it's almost, you know, was unimaginably simple and good. But that changed my life. And I understood at that point what I would say from then on every time I sat next to a troubled person on an airplane. I understood, once I received that message from God, that would be what I preached every time I had the chance. You know, if somebody gave me an opening, I was not going to talk about Christianity as a system. I was going to tell them how much God loved them. I was going to tell them how much God was for them. And how the sin really didn't matter. It wasn't the main issue. Jesus died so that we could think less about sin, not so that we had to think more about it. That would be the message that I tried to convey. So I know what I'm going to do. Every time I have one of those conversations in an airplane, I know where it's going to go. And most of you know what I'm going to say, it sounded like, because you've heard me say it so many times. If somebody were to stick a microphone in my mouth and say, you've got 60 seconds to speak to the whole world, I pretty much know what I'm going to say. I'm going to share the message of Jesus. I'm not going to talk about him. I'm going to share the message of him. Anyway, all this is to say there's a difference between me asking you, have you heard the message about Jesus, and asking you, have you heard the message of Jesus, the message from him? And I suppose for those of us who are trying to follow Jesus, there's a difference between having what you might call a truth life, a life that understands a great deal about God, and having a message life, a life that really reflects and broadcasts the message of Jesus. You know what I mean by a message life? You know what I'm talking about? You can know an awful lot about God, but not really get across the message of Jesus to the world. Both are good, right? It's good to know an awful lot about God, about how the universe works, about good and evil, about the Bible. Good to know an awful lot about Scripture, because those things are really great anchors and they're compass points that help you navigate through life in important ways. But I'm talking about having a life that doesn't just say something true, but that says something compelling, something that people want to receive in an email from God. I think that's what it means to preach the message of Jesus. Now, there are different ways to express the message of Christ. You know, I have my way. I have my little catchphrases, and you've heard them so often from me that most of you know them, right? You know, what was I going to say to the guy? You know, I was going to say, Jesus is for losers. You all knew that, right? Because, you know, I practically have it tattooed on my forehead. You know, I say it so often. But there are different ways to express that message that, you know, God loves you and is for you, and how you express it is going to be a little bit different than how I express it. But that's a great question to ask yourself. You're on an airplane next to someone who gives you an open door, like that guy gave me. What message really do you want to convey? Do you have some idea about how you want it to get out? Or how do you want your life to reflect it? You know, how do you want to broadcast it? The message of Jesus. Which is a different question than, are you going to be able to explain Christianity? That's a different question. Right? You following me? Let me tell you what I think has happened to Nightlife. In the 2 years that we've been at this property, and this is a night of transition, so all of this sort of leads to an observation about where we've come and where I hope we're going. That's why I talked about this tonight. So let me tell you what I think has happened for many of us at Nightlife these past 2 years through these 130 teachings that we've had together, whether you've been here for 2 years or for however long you've been here. You may have learned at Nightlife something about the truth of Jesus. You may have learned about the content of the Bible. You may have learned about the main teachings of Christianity and all that stuff. You may have learned something. But I think more than that, I hope more than that, you've learned about the message of Jesus. And I hope that that's made a difference to you. I hope that that's what's attracted to you about some of the stuff that we're doing together. That we're not just encouraging one another to know more about Jesus, but that we've discovered that Jesus had a message. It was really simple. That he's for you and that he loves you. And that that's been empowering. I think that for many of you that have been here for a while, that's been the transition that you've made in your walk with God. That you've gone from being an understander about Jesus to getting the message. And hopefully being able to speak that message to the world. I think you're learning the message of Jesus. And I think we're learning how to preach that message. I think that's what's going on. Am I right? You understand that transition? Is that accurate? Have some of you sort of had that worked into your life a little bit? I hope that's true. Last week we reviewed these 7 themes that I sort of collected from a survey of the 130 teachings that we've done at Nightlife. And as I meditated on them, preparing that teaching, what excited me about them was the ways in which I think people here have taken them and made a message out of them. It's something that expressed the message of Jesus. Took it from being just knowledge to being like this broadcast message that they had. I've got the 7 points on a slide again. I was going to do a trivia question. How many of you could name all 7? But it took me a while to remember all 7, so I decided not to do that. You know, we decided that one thing the Lord has taught us together is that really following Jesus is a revolution. It's not a doctrine. That really it's a kingdom. What we're supposed to do is change the world. Not just to understand God really well, but to change the world. And there's a message in that. A correct belief is no substitute for following Jesus. And some of you are stepping out on that. A lot of you who are working in third world countries, for instance, I thought about, you know, our dear friends Will and Rachel Mather who are leaving us in some months to go live in Bangladesh for some very extended period of time, 3 or 5 years, something like that. Right, they've made a decision that what they want to do with their walk is to change the world. And many of you are making that decision, right? And that's a message life. That's what that is. That's not merely a truth life, somebody who understands something. It's somebody who is saying something powerful. Number two was, you know, religion sucks, which is a technical phrase. It sounds better in the Greek, but, religion sucks. It's really, religious people are the ones that worry a lot about what's right and what's wrong, and defining that very carefully. But Jesus followers don't really think about that too much, because, you know, sin is not the biggest issue. And this one message that I gave to the guy on the plane. I've done that on planes a lot of times. I remember one of the first stories I ever told at Nightlife was about a flight from Medford, Oregon on a small plane where I sat next to the stripper from Utah. Remember that one? One of your old timers? Yeah? And she sat down next to me, immediately ordered a vodka and started hitting on me and complaining about, she was going to Vegas to get snockered and, to just find some guy and have a great time because her mother was dying of cancer in my hometown. And she started complaining to me about the Mormons in Utah that judged her for her life, but then came in and slipped dollar bills into her G-string at night. And, you know, religion is all fake, and they judge her, and religion was all judge. And I said, that's not what Jesus said. Did you know that? And then we went through the Beatitudes together. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. I talked about that one because I knew her mom was dying. Blessed are the meek. Went through those things. Blessed are the losers. And I said that. Teared up, cried, and said, give me the name of a church in Salt Lake City, please. And the message of Jesus is really powerful. It's not religion. Religion sucks. Everybody say it together.
Religion sucks.
Thank you. You will wash your mouth out with soap before you leave. Fear is the start of every bad thing. Gosh, you know, there are so many of you that I've walked through together has sort of learned not to be afraid. Claudia, we were chatting before the service. I just think God has gotten a hold of your life in a powerful way and has just gotten the fear out of it. And now, you know, Claudia has come up here and shared recently. I mean, she's gone through some fearful circumstances that are between her and God, but you know that now she's like walking around malls praying for sick people she encounters randomly and, you know, seeing them healed and stuff. That's what she's doing with her life now. That's not the life that a fearful person leads. And there are others of you doing similarly really crazy things like that, but, you know, to the glory of Jesus, you know, because you're just not afraid, come what may. Jesus is for losers. How many of you have lost your job at least once since coming to Nightlife? Isn't it great that Jesus is for losers? Can I get a really, really big amen?
Amen.
And we've got to walk through that together. And there's freedom in it, right? There's freedom in it. You've understood that message, right? That's not necessarily a truth of the universe. That's something that Jesus said. That, you know, I'm all about losers, hurting, failing people. And that's powerful. That's the powerful message. Understanding the nature of the Trinity, that's like way down the line somewhere. Church is a community, not a club, right? That's powerful. You can belong here even if you don't agree with everything we say. Isn't that beautiful? You know what I thought about? I thought about, where's Justin? I thought about him. This is really big for you, right? And when Justin showed up at the church, it was because he heard that we were going to Cuba and just doing cool things. And he loved that country. And he showed up, and I'm just telling him because I love him so much. And he's such... has just become such a pillar here. But that flight over to Cuba, this was a guy, I wasn't even sure that he was a believer at that point, frankly, right? Am I right? He was laughing. He was asking me all sorts of questions, you know, like, okay, explain this to me again. And then we got off the plane and he started like praying for people to heal them and stuff like that. You know, it's beautiful that you could just be in the community no matter where you're coming from and work with God from the get-go and let the Lord unfold for you what he has for you. And I think that's a message that Jesus preached. You could study the ecclesiology of the church, but the message of Jesus was, come on, wherever you at, be here with us. And I think we've learned that, and that has shaped us. You know, and we could just go on and on. You know, selflessness is freedom, love, and be. How many of you came because you were depressed? I mean, you came to Nightlife because you were depressed. Yeah, right. And the message that Jesus has for you is, you know, you can stop worrying about yourself. And that is a message that has unlocked depression for a lot of us, certainly for me too. You know, God is here. I think of all the healings that we've seen just because the presence of God is here. Think about the woman who came, was in so much pain she couldn't stand up, couldn't walk right, and then was, you know, running up and down the aisle at the end of the healing service. Many of you remember that one because it was so loud. You know, seeing the Lord heal terminal pancreatic cancer, terminal melanoma, and seeing lives get saved. And I think also of the people in the hospital who came to know the Lord and receive Him as Savior and then died because we failed to heal them. But still, those are powerful stories that we got to because we believe that God is here and that His presence can do miracles. I don't know, the message of my life is always going to be, God loves you more than you think. That's the thing that I'm going to preach. That's the message of Jesus as I express it. What's the message of Jesus as you express it? I don't care how much you understand about the universe. I don't care how much you know about where your life is going. You know, those important things. Figure them out by all means. And then, you know, you can tell me. But it's the message of Jesus that causes people to believe that God loves you more than you think and that He's for you. And I really think that's what the Lord has done for us in 2 years here. Yes? So that's going to be what's written on my gravestone, unless I, you know, die in a jungle somewhere, unmarked, eaten by bugs. The upshot of the I'm just kidding, honey, that won't happen. The upshot of talking to the, you know, the commando for hire from the Executive Security International is that he gave me this card. This was sort of the upshot of the conversation, and he said, "If you ever get stuck." I will have a team of crack commandos just by making one phone call. Anywhere in the world, baby. Yes. So those of you who have been fearing to travel with me, fear not. If the Holy Spirit was not enough, we have choppers standing by. Oh yeah. Nightlife is happening. All right, that's it. That's all I wanted to say. Just sort of that sort of review, way of wrapping up. You know, the message of Jesus, that's really what causes us to believe and causes us to preach. The message of Jesus and not about Him. I want to do one final Nightlife stunt. What? This is going to be fine. And I'm thinking, Kenny, can I borrow you? Can you come up and just get behind the drum set?
Yeah.
The reason will become clear in a moment. Come on. It'll be okay. Kenny hasn't been here in a while. He was actually like one of our very, very first Nightlife drummers. And he's back tonight jamming with us. He'll be around. What I want to do, this is the final worship service in this building after 45 years of worship services, right? And the final service, the final praise falls to you guys. Okay, maybe I shouldn't have planned it that way, but that's the situation, all right? We have this final opportunity to praise the Lord in this place. Yeah, the new owners are going to turn this into offices. Yeah, and you know, people will worship in their office, but this will be the first sort of, the last sort of congregational opportunity we have to worship God. There'll be good offices. It's offices for charitable outreach and helping abused and poor people. I mean, you know, it's really great. Catholic Charities is inheriting it, and they're going to do a fabulous job. But churches won't meet here anymore. So this is it. It's on your shoulders to praise God. So what I want to do is for the next 60 seconds, praise God as loudly and as crazily as you can. To give us a little energy. Kenny's going to keep the beat and make some noise and do some crazy stuff. There you go. So for 60, everybody stand up. And Glenn is recording this service. All right? So the honor of Nightlife is at stake. All right? So everybody's kind of loosen up. Go ahead. For 2 years, 2 years, Will has been begging me for an opportunity to do some liturgical dance. And I think tonight... I haven't started. That was just a warm-up. I haven't started. For 60 seconds, just go as crazy as you can. Right? We're gonna. You heard that, did you? We're just gonna clap. We're gonna scream. We're gonna dance. We're gonna drum solo. We're gonna pound the pews. We're gonna hit the pillars. All right? Because this is it. 45 years of worship, and this is the end. It should end with a punctuation, shouldn't it? All right. Do you feel the weight of 45 years of history? Are you thankful to God that He loves you more than you can possibly imagine? Have you ever received something? Ready? Go! Okay? You okay? I'm not sure, but Roz has been here for over a decade. She can back me up on this, but I think we just set a record for Presbyterian church noise. Is that true? All right. We've done it. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. Next week, 5 p.m., all right, at Ko'olau. Now, we have maps that are in circulation. And if anybody needs a ride, then you're going to talk to let's say, Eunice, because Kelly has disappeared. Talk to Eunice or me, right? 5 p.m. we're going to start. If you don't know how to get there, don't know how you're getting there, then talk to us. But we're going to do it upright, the first Sunday service. It'll be something to remember. For those of you who've been around for a while, this is something they did at the morning service. We actually have dirt from this campus, and we're going to carry it over there, and we're going to throw it down. And... So you come up here, and you can, there's a whole box of dirt up here. You can take a little bit of Keomoku campus with you, for those of you who have been here a while and are attached. Could the prayer ministry team come forward, please? We're going to end this nightlife as we end all of them by just seeking the Lord in prayer. If you've come tonight with a need for healing or a prophetic word from the Lord or what have you, let these guys pray for you. And I think the Lord might do a miracle or two before we're through here at Keomoku. And we're going to go outside. We have potluck. We have lots of food. You all need to hang around for a while, particularly if you're new. Hear about all the other stuff. The small groups that are still going to meet on this side of the pulley, most of the action is in those small groups. So we're going to have a huge presence over here still. You don't need to feel like you need to drive over the pulley every night during the week. Lots of stuff going on. Get the information. I love you. God loves you. God bless this place. And I'll see you over at Ko'olau. Did I forget to say anything?
We're doing country here.
Thank you. No, out there. Paul and I. And they all said, Amen. Amen.